I'm Tiziana Deering, still with you here on Radio Boston, where we're going to switch some gears. We're going to tell a story now about an old journal discovered in a bookshop. It's about four intrepid women, and it's about a piece of our natural landscape that sits right outside our door. So let's start with the women, the Mary Trippers, middle-class women from Lowell who spent 2 weeks on Great Brewster Island, one of 34 locations that are part of the Boston Harbor Islands. Here's the thing. It was 1891, a few decades out from the Civil War. The state's textile industry is booming, and they document their adventure in a journal in great detail. There's pictures, there's paintings, there's descriptions, down to the food they ate, but using only four nicknames: Ye Autocrat, Ye Gentle Aristocrat, Ye Artistic Acrobat, and Ye Voracious Scribe. And then their journey's lost to history, basically, for more than a century, until now. Stephanie Shorrell is lead author on A Boston Harbor Islands Adventure, the Great Brewster Journal of 1891. And with us also, Suzanne Gall-Marsh, founder of the Friends of the Boston Harbor Islands and its current treasurer. Volunteers from that organization helped spearhead the research into the journal and the women who wrote it. Stephanie, welcome back.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having us.
And Suzanne, welcome to you.
Thank you, and aloha to all the listeners.
So let's start with you, Stephanie. So this all starts with a Harvard professor who's in a used bookstore in Cape Ann. Tell us just a little bit about that.
Yeah, Professor Stilgo had a flat tire on his bike outside this bookstore, and he wandered in, as people do into bookstores, and he sees this journal or scrapbook or album or log sitting on the counter, and he looks at it and he says, "This is a treasure. We must have it." He didn't want it to be cut up and sold individually. So he whips out his credit card and says, "You know, Harvard will buy this. Here, I'll buy it right now, or I'll put it down." And so it was saved and is now part of the Schlesinger Library, part of what used to be Radcliffe on the Harvard campus. And it's been preserved there for history. And that's where I was told about it by Radcliffe people. I was over there and they said, "We have this journal or diary or whatever they call it." And I went and looked at it and I said, it just blew me away. It blew me away, all the details. The photographs, this was 1891, and they had photographs of the islands, and they documented everything they did on the island, and they had descriptions of the scenery, descriptions of everything they ate, right down to the tea and the coffee, and also little watercolors and other things. But they didn't have their names.
Yeah.
They never use their names throughout the whole journal.
So I'm going to turn to you, Suzanne, in just a second, but a quick follow-up to you, Stephanie. You know, we've talked with you before. You wrote about the Coconut Grove fire. You've written about our local history. Mm-hmm. How common is it to have a lost piece of history discovered because somebody had a flat tire and wandered into a store? Is this an unusual thing?
This is very unusual that this would happen. Although there are journals. In fact, there's probably another journal kept by these women floating around out there. And we're hoping someone will come forward with it. It's not as unusual for women because their history has traditionally been determined to be less important than that of men. Mm-hmm. So a woman's journal, it was handed down to relatives. "Oh, this is a little interesting thing kept by my relatives." And it wasn't perceived as having value. Mm-hmm. So nowadays we look at them and say, "This is amazing primary research." Yeah. And has real value.
So I want to stay with this story of the journal for a minute longer, Suzanne, before we go to the story in the journal, right? And in this story of the journal, now we turn to you because now we have this mystery, you know, this gentle aristocrat, this autocrat, this artistic acrobat, this voracious scribe, who are also telling the story of these islands that you're passionate about. And we wind up with a group of people volunteering to help solve this mystery. And you got involved in that, as I understand it, or you helped a group of women get involved in that.
Well, it was building on the Friends of the Boston Harbor Islands, Island Voices Project, which we've been doing for a number of years by both oral histories of grown-up elders who were children on Boston Light. That was our first project. Then we began publishing books. One is the King's Handbook of Boston Harbor from 1882 that the women were reading out on Great Brewster. So that's a wonderful connection.
And to be clear for our listeners, the women in this journal were reading that book on this adventure.
Yes, yes. And I have a copy for you today of the paperback version that the Friends republished twice.
Yeah.
This is so, we have a history of island voices. And you see, when I met Stephanie, she interviewed me for East of Boston. She knew about the journal. And over the years, Stephanie developed a PowerPoint. We would tell this story all around Greater Boston. And the light just clicked. It said, it's time to put it in print.
Yeah, yeah.
And first, there was the behind the scenes of selling it to our board and writing a little grant and getting some funding and working with Stephanie. And we began the project because this is what volunteers for the Harbor Islands like to do. They like to use their skills and they like to go out to the islands and help.
So now we get into the story in the journal, and we're speaking, you've just heard Suzanne Gallmarsh, who's the founder and treasurer of the Friends of the Boston Harbor Islands. I'll turn back to you, Stephanie Shiro, who's the lead author on this Boston Harbor Islands adventure, the Great Brewster Journal of 1891. You've created this book now, right? And I'm holding it in my hands. I read it, and it puts context in, and then we've got each page of this journal that's been lost, right, in its original form and then with the storytelling around it. But the key sleuthing to me that's fascinating here is you uncover who these four women are.
Yes, that was our first task to try to do that. So we started out by transcribing the diary, which was a task, but we split it up among our people.
And let's be clear, some of these women, they share the diarying responsibilities, and some of them you can read their handwriting, and some of them you cannot.
Some of them you cannot read their handwriting. It was a real challenge. And we knew the identity of one of the women because of a note that was in the journal. It said, these are friends of my mother, a friend of my mother's, Miss Helen Augusta Whittier. And so we knew her, and we knew a lot about her because there's a lot of information, but we didn't know the identity of the other women. We knew Helen was a member of something called the 15 Club, which is a club out of Lowell. She was from Lowell, and we suspected that the women who went on this trip were members of the 15 Club, but we didn't know which ones they were. But then we started the process of looking at articles, and we found an article in the Boston Globe from 1906 that mentioned all the members of the club, and it mentioned this trip. It mentioned the trip to Great Brewster, which showed us it was a major event in their lives. And then we were kind of narrowing it down, and then we made contact with a historian from Lowell named Martha Mayo, who was also coincidentally interested in this journal, and she was looking through it. So we put our heads together. She became part of our team, and she had done a whole family tree, and she went on to identify who the other women were by various clues. There were initials in the illustrations. B.C. Bella Copeburn was probably the artistic acrobat. There was a birth date that matched up with another woman. And then we made a guess on a Lizzie Dean, whose father, Benjamin Dean, owned the island. So we're not, 99% certain. I mean, not 100% certain, but we're like 98% certain these were the women. And it took a while to tease it out. And that was the adventure. I mean, we had this group of women, mostly one man, women, rescuing the history
of these other
women and putting their experiences in context. Again, the notes that they kept, I compare it to Facebook of 1891.
Why? Why did you make
because
that Facebook comparison?
Because these are the trivial details of our everyday life. Here's what we ate today. Here's what we did. We went out to get clams. We couldn't find any clams. And then they talked about what they're seeing. They talked about their visitors. They talked about how they kept their food cold. So it was a little bit trivial. But they were busy reading major books of the day, newspapers. They had newspapers delivered. They did letters. But what it gave was a flavor of their lives.
The other thing that it did, Suzanne Gallmarsh, is I don't know how to put this because it was trivial then, but it's deeply revealing today, both of this act of what I would almost call glamping, that it turns out, who knew women were glamping in the late 1800s on the Boston Harbor Islands? But I learned a lot about how accessible for daily life, for the joy of people, the Boston Harbor Islands were at that time, too. Did you learn things about the islands and their use from this journal that you didn't know as someone passionate about the islands?
One can visit the Harbor Islands their whole life and you still learn new things. And although I picked up some new information, I really identify with these women because, you see, I once had a little cabin on Pettix Island. I know what it's like to live out there. I lived on Gallops Island for 2 months. So for me, it's a...
As a ranger. She was a ranger.
As a ranger, yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. 10 days on, 4 days off. But that was camping. And there's so many similarities. It's a timelessness about the islands. And I think that really strikes you in the book when you read the women's descriptions of the excursion boats going around at night. Well, that happens today. And you do learn new things. And I'm the kind of learner that if I don't know a word, Stephanie used the word argot in the first paragraph about the women. You look it up. You can learn things.
All right. So what does argot mean?
It's their own form of slang with the ye square log.
I mean, we think the reason they adopted these nicknames is that they were trying to be somebody else. They're shedding their identities as wives and workers and things like that. And they wanted to be somebody else on the island. And so they spoke in this weird kind of ye this and ye that kind of pirate talk. And they called this a log. And so we relate to that because when we go to the islands, we go out, we camp, we shed a certain amount of our civilization identity and we become more authentic. We become more of our true selves.
So, sorry, go ahead.
You asked about learning. I'm really deep into social history of the Harbor Islands. I mean, the Native Americans were there 14,000 years ago, the glaciers and everything finally melt, and we have a documented 8,000-year history. So the point is, I'm sorry, what was that? I'm That's so excited right. to be here.
Yeah. That's all right. So let's pick up there because
the erosion,
in our last...
seeing the photographs...
Yes, that's where I want to go
I was
go
looking
now.
Up the seawall because the women became friendly with the Knights of Labor. They referred to them in the book. Well, when you go to Digital Commonwealth website, there are two incredible pictures from the 1860s period of men living on Great Brewster. Stephanie, I haven't told you this yet. I found the picture the other day, but it shows a community of buildings. So in that time frame, what I learned and saw, the erosion is incredible. We think it's bad today. But the point is, the city went back in the 1890s. The men were not living on the island. They commuted from George's Island. Mm-hmm. So when the women were on Great Brewster, the people they met were either the lighthouse keepers from Bug Light or the late Knights of Labor.
So one thing we did was we have pictures in the book of things now and things then.
Yes.
So you can get that sense of social, like Suzanne was talking about, the social history and the sort of landscape history, because we feel like this is a great, almost like a telescope back into the past.
Well, and I do want to note, you know, in 2021, the city of Boston, the city architect began a series of projects about preservation, archaeological preservation. There's great concern about erosion and climate damage to the Boston Harbor Islands. You know, you talking, Suzanne, about those pictures from then and now. There's a lot about women's history that's interesting about this journal, but the natural history, right, and the preservation, whether it is the, you know, sacred burying grounds and sacred sites from 8,000 years ago, and even just uses from World War II.
Right.
And the physical erosion and the loss of the islands as sea level rise. It all comes home one more time with the pictures, the descriptions, the paintings that we have in yet one more for formerly anonymous people's trip of
Yeah, and that's
weeks.
Why this is such a rich document, because it tells us about the landscape there. And it also has insight into the lives of women with these little details, what they're reading, the games they were playing, what they're eating. I mean, that gives us a sense of a history that we don't often hear about.
Yeah.
So we have these women going out on adventure, and we hear about that. We're hoping more people will, things will come forward. I know writing about Boston history that I get a lot of feedback from people. And we are going to be at the Porter Square bookstore on July 18th. We're going to be on George's Island on the 15th. And we're going to be in Quincy tonight to talk about this book. And we're hoping people will come forward with their own stories.
Good. That's the call to action, is to come with your stories. Very briefly, Suzanne.
And to get on a boat, the summer schedule's in full effect. You can visit three islands. Spectacle, Pettix, and George's have direct service. There's the peninsula, and take a lighthouse tour that will bring you right by Great Brewster Island.
All right. Stephanie Shoro, Suzanne Gall-Marsh, the book is Boston Harbor Island's Adventure.